Blog Talk Radio.
I can just get started.
Amen. Amen. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Prophet Valerie Burrell. Grateful and thankful to each of you who have joined us tonight online and those who are dialing in on tonight. We are blessed this week to have as our special guest Charles Lewis. I don't know whether they call you minister, elder, pastor, whatever. Charles Lewis. I call him Charles Lewis because he's like family to me. Well, he is family to me. A young man that I've watched grow in grace, grow in love, grow in what God is doing in his life. So tonight he is here with us to share with us from the topic identity crisis. And Charles, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. If you desire to introduce yourself to a greater degree, please go ahead with that and then just move as the Spirit leads. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Burrell. You truly are family.
Don't
thank
do that. Don't do that.
The...
Don't do that. Don't be formal. Don't be formal.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak a word today to hopefully empower somebody, which I know it will.
Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and get right into it.
Amen.
What I'm talking about today is an identity crisis. And when I was first starting to write about it, what God led me, the first thing we were talking about in my spirit is thinking about the things that you're thinking about and the things that you allow to get in your mind. And then he stopped me and made me research on a deeper issue, which is the identity crisis. Because your beliefs and your attitudes and your lifestyle and the philosophies that you all know about, they all start from a seed. Now, this seed is known as a thought, and the origin of this seed came from a source. And the method that the source uses to plant the thought or seed is the images and words that we see and hear. Now, the church today and people in general are suffering from an identity crisis. And the reason is because we're relying on too many sources to tell us who we really are, other than the original source, which is God. Now, if I could use two scriptures, it would be Proverbs 23:7, and that reads, "So a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And Matthew 12:34b, which is, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." So what this scripture, what these two scriptures are saying is, what you say is a matter of what's in your heart, and who you think you are is a matter of what's in your heart. And the only thing that is in your heart is what you believe. So there's only one way into your heart, and that's by using a thought. So I say that to say the most important thing to be mindful of is who and what you're letting be your source. Because the things that you allow to be your source, these are things that are going to affect your identity. The people that you listen to, the shows that you watch, the music that you listen to, the more you listen to it, the more you meditate on it, the more it becomes a philosophy, the more it becomes an idea, the more it shapes your attitude, and it's manifested through your lifestyle because that's what you believe. An example I would use would be, I've been at work, or if you've ever been at work, and the boss is not there right at that time, and then one of the employees who has the same position as you, he comes in and starts trying to tell people what to do. The first thing you're going to say when he does that is, "Who do you think you are?" Because you're acting out of your position, your identity. You have a situation of an identity crisis because that's not who you are. A lot of us right now are walking around wearing false identities. And what I mean by that is that's the people that have been in your life, they've always fed you negative thoughts. They've always fed you negative attitudes. Your circle is negative. So once you meditate and think on those things so much, you start to believe them, even though that's not who you really are. So you're walking around wearing a false identity. Then we have another set of people who are dealing with stolen identity. And because they don't know who they are, TV and the people that they're around to take on their identity when it's not really them. So the problem with these things is that when you have a false identity and a stolen identity, you end up in situations that you wouldn't normally be in if you knew who you were. So it's just like being in a wrong type of job. If that job is not for you, the gifts and the purposes that you have in your life can never be manifested because it'll never be the area for those things to come out. Let me get back. So whoever's words you listen to and whatever images you entertain, by default, they become your source. And that includes the people you associate yourself with. That includes the music and television that you watch. These are all sources that influence what you believe. And what you believe determines your identity. And I just want to say that again because that's very important. What you believe determines your identity. Now, that means so everything about you can be traced back to a simple thought. That's why it's absolutely essential that we keep God as our source. Because we, at the end of the day, we're creations of God. He is our creator, and we're his creation. And only the creator can give the creation its identity. No one can tell you who you are except the person who made you. If I could use an example for that, I would use an iPhone. Now, Apple created the iPhone. So only Apple can give the iPhone its identity. Only Apple can give the iPhone its logo. Only Apple can give the iPhone its functions for it to operate correctly. So only God can give us our identity because he is our creator. So anytime anybody is trying to feed you anything contrary to what God has to say about you, you will operate wrong. You won't be able to operate in your full capacity. Now, not having a secure identity, these things have negatives, or having a negative source, rather, they have a lot of consequences besides the information they're feeding you and what you believe. When you believe in a wrong identity, it gives Satan the opportunity to create a stronghold. And a lot of strongholds that come out of wrong identities are inferiority complexes, lack of self-esteem, and relying on a particular source creates an environment of idolatry, which grows in. And that goes into a whole other thing. But when you're expecting something from something, a source that God is supposed to be your source. Let me back up. God is supposed to be your source. When you're expecting someone else or something else to give you a fulfillment that only God can give you, that's idolatry. And God says you shouldn't have any other God before him. Now, if you do that, when you do that, you're setting yourself up for failure because he designed you to only receive that fulfillment from what you're looking for from him. So the things that you're idolizing will never give you fulfillment. So it's only setting you up for later frustration and later negative behaviors. That's why we have a lot of people who do all the loud talking and they have to always be in control or they're always seeking attention because those are their idols. Attention makes them feel like they're somebody. But that attention that once they get it will never make them feel like that because only God can give you that. Now, when you let Christ give you your identity, it fulfills these areas that we often seek to have fulfilled by the world, which they can never give you. That's your sense of adequacy. That's your sense of ability, your sense of self-identity and your personal worth. These are characteristics that are important as a believer because they help establish the confidence that you need to fulfill your purpose. That's why you have to get that from him, because the adequacy that he fulfills for you, he says, I'm giving you this gift and this purpose and this destiny in life, and I make you feel like you can do it because you can do it. You can accomplish it. Your personal worth comes from fulfilling your purpose. Anything else other than that, you're going to feel worthless. You'll have low self-esteem. That's just how it works. Now, if you're looking to someone for this identity of your ability, the moment that they don't respond in the way that you want them to, you're going to shut down and you're going to close the channel that God could have possibly used to manifest your ability through his power. What I'm saying is when the purpose that God has for your life, when you're walking in it, you're going to fulfill everything that you need, the happiness that you need, the joy, the sense of self-worth. Once if you're in a position now where you're doing something or you're in a mess because of an identity that somebody else has influenced you to believe, you're never going to be happy. It can't happen. And the bad thing, the most destructive thing about it is there are things that God placed in us that are for benefit of the world. And the only way that they can be manifested is if you're in the correct environment, if you're in the correct identity for them to manifest. Because he'll never give you more than you can bear, good or bad. So if you're not in the right environment, these things can't manifest and you'll never grow. You'll end up being stagnant, and that can be very frustrating. Your sense of self-worth comes through your fulfillment of your purpose, and your purpose can only be given to you by the source. Only the person who made you can tell you what you're designed to do. And when we don't know who we are or what we are to do, there will always be problems. And he called us to fulfill this purpose. When he called you to fulfill your purpose, he called you by your name. Amen. Now, you can only confess what you believe. This is why it's important for you to have the right source, to actually to have God as your source. Because when God is your source, you begin to meditate on the things that he gives you, which is his word. You begin to meditate on the images that he gives you, which is the visions and the dreams to fulfill your purpose. So once you meditate on these things long enough and they manifest themselves through the philosophy and the attitude in your lifestyle, they end up being in your heart. That's why Matthew 12:34b says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 18:21a says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the sources that you are allowing to influence your beliefs, are they speaking thoughts of life or death? Or are they saying you're more than a conqueror? Are they saying by stripes you are healed? You're the lender and not the borrower? Or are they saying you'll never be nothing? Your daddy wasn't nothing. Your mama had the same sickness. Your grandma had the same sickness. Why are you always broke? Are the television shows that you're watching, do they build you up to be productive? Or are they taming your tolerance? And by taming tolerance, I mean you might not necessarily believe in the programming and what it's doing, but the more that you watch it, basically my example is homosexuality. Homosexuality is so much everywhere right now that you know that the Bible says it's wrong, but we see it so much, we're more tolerant of it. That also sets you up for strongholds because the confidence that you have to fulfill your purpose might not make you rebuke that spirit when you see it because you're tolerant of it. Now, it's crucial to know because when the pressure hits, whatever is in you is going to come out. Whatever is in your heart, when the situations get tough, that's what's going to come out. And these situations are what God used to expose to us what's in our heart because he already knows. He already knows what's in your heart. He already knows what you've been meditating on. He already knows what you're listening to. So when the pressure hits, if you haven't been meditating on the correct things and you haven't been influenced by the correct source and are aware of your identity, the pipes are going to bust. If your confession is not rooted in what God has to say, you're automatically going to start speaking death on your situation. Now, if God is your source and he's giving you your identity and you're meditating like you're supposed to, that thing is going to get down in your heart. And when pressure hits, you're going to start speaking the word of God and casting down strongholds and taking every thought into captivity and things of that nature. That's because that's what's in you. If it's not in you, you can't do it. Now, I'm not saying that being around other people and watching television is bad, but what I am saying is that you need to have a daily affirmation with your source. Because if you think you can just go to church on Sunday and then go to Bible study on Wednesday and expect the other 7 days of the week when you're not there to maintain you, you're sadly mistaken. Because those influences that you seek more are going to be the ones who determine your identity. If I can go back to the iPhone again, it's the same way. God made you. So you will, in comparison, we will be the iPhone, and the source will be the charger. So we plug the charger into the wall, and we plug the charger to the phone. Now, if you think you can plug your phone up on Sunday and not plug it up again till Saturday and expect to stay fully charged and operate in the manner that you're supposed to, that's not going to work. You got to plug that phone up daily to make sure it receives its maximum charge. Same way we have to do with Christ when it comes to maintaining our identity. Because when we first accept salvation, our mind needs to be renewed. So prior to accepting salvation, you're already suffering from an identity crisis to start with. So the first thing you have to do is start relying on God to tell you who you really are and tell you what you really are and get that thing down into you so when, like I said, when the pressure situations come, you'll be ready to withstand them. There has to be a continual renewal of the mind through meditating on God's thoughts of who you are. That's why it's possible to be saved and still have trouble with your identity because you're not fully renewing your mind on a daily basis, and that's what it takes. But when God is truly your source, you stay connected to him and you're meditating on what he has to say about your identity so much so that you believe it, it will begin to affect your lifestyle. because knowing who you truly are in Christ comes with a confidence. And the reason, the reason is when God is your source of identity, he's able to operate through you totally. And if I can go back to the iPhone again, when you have maximum charge, you're able to use every function in the phone. The phone operates at its maximum capacity because it has a full charge. Now, also, along with the word, God gives us the word. These are the words that he used to affirm to us who we are. The same way the iPhone came with a manual to tell you how to use the phone. You use this manual to follow the directions in the manual, then you should have no problem with using the phone. If we follow God's word and what he gave us, then we should have no problem with who our identity is, and we should have no problem with telling the devil who we're not. We should have no problem casting down thoughts that negative people in our life try to give us, because we'll be able to take that thought, take it into captivity, put it to God's word, and if it doesn't add up to what he said, we can reject it. That's how we guard our heart. Now, when you get into this totally, what you'll be able to do is put on the mind of Christ, and you'll stop. You'll start operating in your destined capacity and your original capacity and your purpose capacity. Now you're able to guard your heart. Now you're able to guard your heart against fraudulent thought patterns by taking every thought into captivity and rejecting anything that's contrary to God's word. And the things, I know there's a lot of people who have been hearing so much negative stuff for so long in their circle that they can't help but live those things out. But when God is your source, a few things that he says about you is, he says you're justified. He says you're a joint heir with Christ. He says you've been accepted. He says you're chosen. He says you're holy and blameless before him. He says you're his workmanship. He says you're his righteousness. He says you're saved. He says you're made complete. He says he is your strength. You are a new creature, set free, healed, purposed, and predestined to obtain an inheritance. Now, if you let those things be your identity, the confidence that comes with that is so powerful that all the channels in you will be open and he'll be able to manifest and you'll be able to operate through power and authority that he gave you on this earth, because that's what we are actually designed to do. Now, who you believe you are is so important, because what you believe in your heart is so important, because the power and the authority of the believer is in his belief and his faith. Again, like I said earlier, you can only confess what you believe. And this is how Jesus operated. John 5:19 says, truly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing by itself. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. That's what your identity is designed for you. That's how it's designed for you to operate. When you listen to what God says you're doing, when you listen to who God says you are, and you believe these things, and you act on them, you will only do what he tells you. You will only want to do what he wants to do, because you're so in line with him. And when that line and that channel is open, that allows him to be able to send that power through you to manifest and create situations that create your environment and create dominion in your environment, because that's what we were designed to do. How it works is faith allows him to see, and he believes what he sees. He believes what he faces, and this is based off of his source that he's getting this faith. And through that belief, he uses words to confess it. That same situation happens when he told us, if you saw Mark 11:23, he says, truly I tell you, whoever says to the mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes what he says will take place, it will be done for him. That's what he's saying. If you're meditating on my word, if you know who I say you are, and you believe that, and you have faith in it, because it'll be down in your heart, and you can speak what you believe. You can confess what you believe. So if you can say to the mountain of your situation, be lifted and thrown into the sea, you can cause havoc in your environment as far as the devil is concerned. There will be nothing, no obstacle that he can put in your place that you won't be able to operate out of authority and the power and speak to it and have it removed or rebuke it. That's what we were designed to do. Now, you can only confess what you believe. You believe what you hear, and you see what you hear, and what you see comes from your source. Your source determines your identity. So if you're around environments that can influence your belief system, make sure you think about what you're thinking about. And the way that we think about, first thing I want to say, if you have a problem with thinking about what you're thinking about, 9 times out of 10 you're talking too much. If you can't sit down and gather your thoughts enough to see whether you're speaking something negative or are you speaking life, then you're talking too much. Just flat out. I'm just sorry. But when you're able to think about what you're thinking about, and you're in alignment with God, and you understand your identity, and all the channels are open for Him to release His power and authority through you. The way He gave you to guard your heart was by taking thoughts into captivity, because that is the thought is the seed that determines what you believe. So if you take that thought into captivity and compare it to God's word, and if it's not that, reject it, it can never get into your heart. Only what's good will get in there. Now, and this happens because you're connected to the source. If it disagrees, we reject it. You know who you are. John 15:7 says, if you live in me and my words remain in you and continue to live in your heart, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. So everything boils down to what's in your heart. And God is telling us, if you know who you are, if you accept who I said you are, and you believe it and you meditate on it, anything that you ask for, I will give you as far as exercising power and authority in your environment, and He will give it to you without a word because, number one, you're connected to Him. So you wouldn't ask for anything outside of His will because you can only do what the Father does. And what the Father does is bring His will forth on earth so you can have whatever you ask for. Amen. Now, God uses precious situations to expose what's in your heart. And Psalms 139 says, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is anything wicked or hurtful in my way. See if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me. It is very important for you to have your heart established. And you're like I've been saying this whole time, your heart gets established through God telling you who your identity is. When Adam first was in the garden, I'm going to step back for a second because I'm explaining this. I'm a root person, so it's easy for me to understand when I can get to the root of things. And it all starts with Adam and Eve. When Jesus came, He was restoring us back to our original position, which was where Adam and Eve was. I thank God for His salvation, and I thank God for the birth, death, burial, and resurrection, because it restored us back to our original purpose. Now, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. There was a natural connection already. Adam's identity came from God. Because those channels were open, he was able to exercise authority. God gave him dominion. The way his first exercise in authority was naming the animals. And with the faith that came with that, he didn't have to guess when he named the animal. If he called a lion, it was a lion. If he called a zebra, it was a zebra. And there was no way that he ever thought about, well, maybe it's not. No, because that connection, he had confidence in that connection. Now, what happened was, which is what's happening now, which is causing the identity crisis, when Satan tempted Eve, he tempted her with a thought. That's the only way. Satan has no power or no authority on this earth. All dominion and power is given to us. The only way Satan gets power is when we give it to him. We give it to him through sin. Now, when Satan tempted Eve, he tempted her with a thought, and he tempted her with a negative thought, and he spoke death. And because of that, now what happens after that happens, they end up sinning, they end up getting kicked out the garden. So the main thing we need to see here is you need to watch the people you're hanging around. If they're not speaking life into you, you need to cut them off. If they're speaking death into your situations, you need to cut them off, because the more you listen to them, you can be saved and be going to church like you're supposed to and be meditating on the word. But if your environment is contaminated, there's still a possibility that a seed can get through and manifest itself through attitudes and lifestyle. It happened to myself when I first got saved, if I be honest. I was studying the word. I was doing the things that I was supposed to do, but I hadn't cut off those friends that I was still hanging with when I first got saved. So I could go read the Bible. I could quote you a scripture. I could shout. I could try to speak in tongues and do everything I needed to do. But the second I stepped outside of that environment and went to hang with those friends, those negative thoughts were still in me. They were still being fed to me. So what it does, it creates a unnecessary friction, because now instead of trying to manifest your purpose, now you're battling with these negative thoughts that never had to be there had you cut the people off. So please be mindful of who you are around. If they're not speaking life, get them out your circle, because you can only do two things. You can only speak life or death. There's no in-between. So if they're not speaking life, they have to be speaking death. And the unfortunate thing about it is sometimes it can even be your family. Sometimes it can even be your spouse. Sometimes it could even be your best friend. That's just the nature. That's just the nature of the devil. He's able to use some people, but at the same time, you have to trust what God has for you and know that if He wants you to do good, then you need to get out of that situation. Simple as that. Now, Psalms 139, verse 17 says, "How precious and weighty are your thoughts to me." Verse 16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape." So before you were even created, God had a purpose for you already. The blueprint for your life was already ready. Your identity was already established, being that once you found your identity, you'll be able to manifest your purpose. So it doesn't matter what situation you're in right now. It doesn't matter who is speaking these negative things for you. Trust and believe what they're saying is not true, because God has already established your identity before you were here. Whatever He has purpose for you has to be done for His name's sake. So your identity is very essential to Him. Who you are to Him is very essential. He placed us, and I wish I could remember the scripture, but it's "What is man that you're so mindful of him?" And where He positioned us. It's very important. Also, your faith plays a big part in your identity, because you can meditate on it, you can study it, you can pray, and you can let God tell you. But if you don't believe what He's saying about you, what He's saying about you will never be able to manifest in your life. You won't accept that power. And like I said, the power of the believer is his belief. And his belief is another word we can just switch them in and out. It's faith. So you speak what you faith. And if you don't believe it, you can't speak it. If you don't believe that God says your finances are straight, or you're more than a conqueror, or you're healed, you will never be able to speak those things over your environment. Even if you're entertaining the thoughts, it has to get to a point where it's a belief. Okay? Amen. Your attitude dictates your response. And so basically, you are your attitude. And if you don't control it, it will control you. That's what Satan does when he puts these negative thoughts in there. He knows that he has no power and authority to make you do anything. But he understands that God gave us a natural authority and power of choice. And if you choose to entertain these thoughts, he knows they will affect your attitude. Now, once your attitude is negative, that's when you give him the power to control you. So we got to watch our attitudes.
Amen. I think, Charles, that scripture you were talking about, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him," is that the one you were talking about from Psalm 8?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor."
Now, that shows you right there your position and how much he thinks of you. There is nobody on this earth who says they love you, or who you chill with every day, that's going to make you feel like that, that's going to treat you like that. That fulfillment can only come from God. Only come from God. Don't seek it anywhere else, because you'll be disappointed. Also, I lost my place. Give me a second.
Thanks, the Lord.
When it comes to the thought process, which is, like I said in the beginning, which is the initial seed that ends up being in your heart and manifesting through what you believe in your lifestyle and how you act. The word says, always think on things that are pleasing and think on things that are good. And the reason is because the world is the way it is because sin is here. So we can't ignore the fact that sometimes things are just going to happen. But we can't let those things affect our identities to the point where we stop believing who God says we are. Because one important thing to remember while thinking on good things, the thing that you should remember to think is that it's already done. Whatever He purposed for your life for His name's sake has already been accomplished in His world. Now you have to faith it in order to see it. But don't let the negative situations that come up in life blind you from what God is trying to show you and thus throw your identity off. Now, what comes in your heart comes out of your mouth, and what's in your mind goes into your heart. So guard your heart, for for out of it flows. And the power of the tongue is life and death, and you can only confess what you believe. Anytime you speak negativity, you give Satan the authority to operate on your behalf. He can only give you suggestions to entertain, but you have the capacity and authority to take those thoughts captive. So it's so important to recognize and monitor the source and image that we entertain. And what you know and what you believe are two different things. Knowing is mental, but belief is in the heart. That's why we speak some things and they don't happen. A lot of times, we say, well, you know, the power of the tongue has life and death in it, and we can speak things into existence, and we wonder why when we speak things, a lot of times, they're not coming to fruition. Well, the reason is you don't believe it. You can say what you want to say, but God says, any man, if you speak to the mountain and you believe, then it will move when you tell it to move.
Yeah.
So if you're speaking something and it's not coming to pass, it has nothing to do with God. It has something to do with your belief. Although you might say, I know that I can do it, and I know that God says it's possible, but until you believe it, nothing will move. Heaven's not obligated to do anything until you follow the alignment of God's process. Process is very important. If you don't believe it, heaven doesn't have to move.
Amen.
And like I said, it's important because your power is in what you believe. You confess what you believe, so we use our words to create our environment. So it's very important that you believe in what you say. Once you believe in that power and confess it, then it gives you the opportunity and the authority to operate in the supernatural. So every time you believe in something Jesus says about your image, you open that lane for his authority to run through it. That's why we're able to go lay hands on people and they're healed. Once his power is released through you in Jesus' name, you can rest under the covering of his blood and you just let his power do the work. Once he tells you who you are and you believe who you are and you accept that identity, it opens the channels and that's your work ends. Now he is able to flow through you and take care of everything through you, which was the original purpose. So the power is in your belief and faith. The devil makes it to infiltrate your thought process with images and words to affect your attitude and feeling, contrary to what God says, based only on the physical realm. So once you accept your identity and believe those things, you're now allowed to operate in the supernatural. So you can face things into existence by confessing them. That's the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. 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 As you were flowing, Proverbs 4:3, and you said it, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So,
indeed.
You know, for those who have been listening on tonight, and as he's been sharing so clearly concerning the identity crisis, you may be struggling with realizing who your source is and with society being what it is. The world has made it so easy for you to try to rely on any and everything else except for God to make ends meet, to you know, get the job done, whatever the case may be. Society wants to give you a remedy instead of you relying on the true source, which is God. So when you begin to rely on these other sources, as Charles has stated, you find yourself being disappointed, and you find yourself being let down. And then when those things start happening, you start to let go of what God has spoken concerning who you are, because who you thought you were based on what's taking place in your life at any given moment does not seem to be adding up.
Right.
But the truth lies in what's going on in your heart. And have you accepted the fact that he is your source, and not only your source, but your source and your resource?
Amen.
So when lack is taking place in your life and you're looking to everyone else to fulfill the need, go to your source, who is also your resource.
Amen.
One thing that I love about God doesn't always do things the way we expect him to do them. But guess what? He gets it done.
Every time. Every time.
He gets it done. But it only happens when we rely on him. It only happens when we trust and believe in him. It only happens when we're making the confessions that we know to be true.
Amen.
And you stated it as well. When you believe it in your heart, when you speak it, he says, if you come to me believing, you will receive that which you've asked for. And he's not going to do anything in the earth until you put your mouth on it. You got to trust him enough to speak that thing.
True.
Woo! My. Yay, God! Yay, God! I love it. This has been wonderful because this is really going to help some people because, as you've stated, we have, many people have given up their identity. They've allowed people to rename them, to reclaim them, to disregard them, to do whatever it is you may want to call it. They've given people the authority over their lives that they don't even have. They've turned themselves over. They've become enslaved to man's thoughts instead of just believing what it is that God said about you. You've allowed dream killers to take your vision away from you. And you've got to be careful. He said it. You've got to be careful who you're associating with, who's in your circle of influence, because those very ones in your circle of influence are the ones who are trying to kill your dream. They're the ones who are messing with your identity.
Amen.
It's something when you know within yourself who you are, and you're good when you're by yourself, but then you want to go hang out with your crew, and when you get with them, you lose it.
That's right.
You lose it. And it's funny because my grandson, 7 years old today, was saying to me, he said, Mom, I was talking to one of my little friends at school, and I asked her, why do you hang with those children who do things that are wrong? He said, I'm about doing things that God wants me to do. He said, but it seemed like you want to do things that Satan wants you to do. And I'm thinking, okay, son. And he said, Mom, so I asked her why she was doing it. And she told me, well, it seemed like it's fun doing stuff with them. And see, that speaks to some of us who are dealing with an identity crisis. We know who God says we are. We know what God has given us to do, but it just seems like it's more fun hanging out with the other side. Uh-huh. And what does the other side do? The other side wants to destroy you.
That's it. That's all it can
God
do.
Tonight wants you to know your identity. For somebody, he wants you to reclaim your identity. He wants you to know your worth again. Because you've allowed it to fall on the wayside. Our theme last year, Charles, was when you know your worth, you obtain your wealth.
All right.
When you know your worth, you obtain your wealth. Because when you know your worth, then you begin to operate in that thing that God has called you in the earth to fulfill. You begin to walk in alignment. You begin to do that which he called you to. And then by doing that, by fulfilling it, you will get the manifestation of every promise that he's spoken concerning you.
That's right. That's right.
But it's a matter of having your heart right. And it's a matter of having your conversation right. And it's a matter of knowing who your source is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. Yay! I get excited. This was good. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Whew, praise God. If you have a few callers on the line, if you have any question, comment, or if you have any prayer requests, press 1, and we'll let you on the line. Amen. Any questions, any comments, or any prayer requests, you can press 1 at this time, and we'll let you on the line. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, Charles, if you would, could you tell the listening audience tonight, like where you're fellowshipping? You know, if there's contact information or something that you want to give out more about yourself, because I know that this message is going to make some noise in the kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Right now, I'm still fellowshipping at Antioch Church Ministry in Greenville, and I'm in the D.C. area right now as we're speaking. And I just stay in the Word. My contact information is CLASSB41@yahoo.com. If you want to email me, I'll get back to any questions you might have, or if you just want to link up and talk about God, I'm always for that.
Amen.
And I'm just open. I'm open. I just want to deliver the word to the people of God because I've been through so much in my life, and it comes to a point where enough is enough, and you got to say it's enough. And the only way you can stand on the strength of enough is to believe who God says you are. We all going to make mistakes.
Amen.
We all going to mess up. We all have our struggles. Lord knows I struggle daily. But the more you believe what he says about yourself, it builds that confidence. So if you want to just email me, we can talk, we can pray. I'm here.
Amen. 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 Well, I'm excited. I bless God for you. And tell your wife thank you for allowing us to capture this time from family. I know how important that is. But
yes,
I thank you for releasing this word into the atmosphere, amen, to our listening audience. And y'all know you can reach me. If you can't reach Charles and you have some questions, you can call us at 804-658-3159. You can email us at empower_yourself@yahoo.com. You can find us on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, or our ministry page, The Empowerment Place. I'm on Twitter. We've got a mobile app. All those places.
Amen.
You can reach us, and you can hear the word, and you can hear this message again, and share it with someone who is struggling, because there are so many that are struggling from identity crisis, but God tonight has given us a remedy so that it can stop, and it can stop now. Amen. Well, Charles, I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer. Amen.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for giving Miss Valerie the opportunity and the platform for us to share your word with the people. Whoever received the message, who was going through an identity crisis, Lord, we accept their healing and their transformation right now in Jesus' name. We rebuke any spirit of procrastination that will prevent someone from starting to go ahead and accept their identity. We rebuke any spirits of laziness and any spirits of confusion that will cause somebody to not understand the true identity. Go with us through the rest of the week. We send a special prayer out to the people in Baltimore right now who are really going through a struggle. They need your word right now. And we thank you for everyone listening. We thank you, and we ask that you please continue to give Ms. Bradley the strength to use this platform that you gave her, and we thank you for allowing her to walk in her purpose. And we thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listeners, as always, we encourage you every day, do something to empower yourself. And then once you've been empowered, we want you to take the responsibility to empower someone else. One thing we know for certain is that each of us is the key to our own empowerment. We can't blame anybody else. It's not mama's fault, daddy's fault, sister's fault, brother's fault. If it's not happening for us, it's because we've not taken the choice. We've not taken the propensity and the capacity that what's already within us to make things happen. So know that you are the key to your own empowerment. So it is our desire that you truly be empowered. God bless each of you for joining us tonight. Be with us again on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. where we will have another empowerment message from Evangelist Hope Brodkin. God bless you. And Charles, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.